Blog Talk Radio.
Law in all of the states yet, but
similar laws to sexual harassment in the workplace. They're looking and fighting hard to pass very, very similar laws in the workplace. So it's best to really know if you have that issue or not. But yeah, this supervisor I had then, he was horrible to me. He was certainly a steamroller, a bully, and his biggest complaint was that, and he was really a nice man, but he did not like females in the military. He just felt that it was wrong. He was married, and maybe he could not see his wife ever being in the military. He had been in by the time I met him, he had been in at least 10 years. He was an E6, and he was, over our shop, and he just did not at all. He did not like women in the military, so he gave us a hard way to go. But today, we're going to talk about part two of dealing with difficult people in the workplace. Now, if you missed part one yesterday, please go back. I encourage you to go listen to the archives, and you can find out what all we spoke about yesterday. But just for a quick recap, we talked about, what do we mean by difficult people? We gave you some examples. We also gave you some titles of different types of difficult people. And now today, we gave you a description of what these difficult people look like so that you would be able to identify them in your area. And then we began to tell you how to overcome or how to deal with that difficult person. So far we got through two. We got through the steamroller, and we got through the sniper. Remember those two? The steamroller and the sniper. Now today we're going to talk about the others. So we're going to talk about dealing with the person that can't say no, dealing with the know-it-all and the complainer. We all know somebody like that, right? And then dealing with the staller. And so those are the three that we have left to deal with. The person who likes to stall, talk about the person that knows it all, the complainer, and then dealing with the person that just can't say no. Now, after we go through that, we will do talk a little bit more about how you can deal with these people that are aggressive. If you have someone in your job that is what we call passive aggressive, we're going to talk about how to deal with that passive aggressive person in the workplace. So we're going to hone in specifically and talk about who this person is. We're going to talk about why it is so frustrating to deal with this passive aggressive person, and then we're going to talk about, drop some nuggets of wisdom on you to how to deal with this person, okay? Or maybe you even have to manage that person, managing a passive aggressive person, all right? So we're going to talk about that in the second half of the show. Don't forget, we have a few commercials that we have to get through, so we want to let you know about that. We have some exciting events coming up. For those of you who would like to advertise with the Coach Lalisa Show, all you have to do is inbox me. You can send me a message right here from right here off of Blog Talk Radio, or you can inbox me from Facebook if you would like to advertise with us. So in part two of dealing with difficult people, now like I said, no doubt we will have more to say about the subject of dealing with difficult people at work, in the home, in the church, in the community, and everywhere you are, in college. Everywhere there's difficult people. We'll have more to say about that in future shows, but we have other topics that we have to cover as well. We have topics we want to cover for the small business owner. Talk about finances, how you can get the financing for your small business. So we have some banks coming on in the next couple of weeks. I've met up with some bankers. They're willing to come and talk about how to get money out of their institutions, how to prepare yourself to present yourself so that you can get the best. Remember, before you can achieve the goals that you have set for your business, you must first build the capacity to achieve those goals. A lot of people have goals, but they don't have the capacity to achieve the goals. So dealing with the negative people, the difficult people, the next one is the person who can't say no. You know that person. They take on too many responsibilities until they collapse. Now, why people do that? Well, there are several reasons why this could happen. Some people, they're just really afraid to say no. These are people who are sometimes, they're afraid that if they say no, they're going to appear incompetent, as if they can't handle things. Sometimes they don't know their own limit. There are people who don't know their limit. Sometimes they know the limit, but they ignore it, which is even worse than not knowing it at all. So a lot of times it could be that, or it could be other reasons. You may know of other reasons why some people can't say no. In some situations, these employees who can't say no, sometimes it's because they're the rookie on the team, so to speak, and they don't want to let others down, which is almost like being intimidated. Again, that would go back to being, you know, fearful. You're fearful of letting others down. And I know about this because I had that problem for a long, long time, not being able to say no. And for the most part, it was fear. In my case, a lot of it was fear, afraid to say no, afraid to look like I'm not a part of the team, afraid to stand up for myself. I had a big problem with standing up for myself. It really, a very big problem with that. And as I'm sure a lot of children do, a lot of people have, and for me, I believe it stemmed from being molested as a child because, you know, I was afraid all the time. You have an adult who is taking advantage of you. It kind of instilled that fear in you. Usually it can do one or two things. Either you want to fight back or you go into a shell and you don't fight back. But then you pick up that habit of not fighting back, and then you begin to transfer that behavior into all the other areas of your life. So I know for me that's why it happened. Now, when you deal with people who can't say no, all right, if you're dealing with these people on the job, it's your coworker, it's your manager, it's your team member, or it could be the person at church. You know, you're on a certain committee with a person who's always saying yes, and they don't know their limits. Now, certainly, I fall into that category as well. Sometimes I just don't realize that I can't handle all of this until it's too late. So I thank God for my husband, who is right here. He's wonderful. God bless him. He reminds me, now you know you can't do all of that. Stop. You know, he's very good at that. And I thank God. You know, you have to thank God for the husbands that God gives us, because sometimes, you know, it seems like, why is this person saying this? Why is this person telling me this? But believe me, you, there is a reason. You know, God puts us with the right people for the right stuff that we need at the right time. And so I really do appreciate him. But nonetheless, this difficult, just dealing with the person who can't say no, the first thing you want to do is to build a relationship with them, because you need to be able to earn their trust. You want them to feel comfortable with you. Then, once you get to know them a little bit, you get, you know, got that relationship going, now you can talk to them about what you're concerned about. You know, like, again, like my husband, you know, we know each other very well. So he's able to say to me, you can't handle all these projects. You know, look at what's happening. This one isn't getting done. This one isn't working. You're not standing up to yourself. You're letting people take advantage of you. But it's hard for people to receive a message like that from someone they do not trust. So you can't just walk up straight cold to a person and say, you need to stop doing this, 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 and that. You have to build that relationship first, build their trust. And I know that takes time. So a lot of people feel, I don't have time to build the relationship. Well, you really don't have time not to. Take the time to build the relationship with the person. Now, once you have this relationship going with them, you've developed and built this trust, now you can begin, you know, asking them questions that are designed to help them understand that they're out of balance. Now, I know I have a coaching tool that deals with getting your life in balance, and it's a monthly map, we call it, and it'll walk you through the steps. So if you're that person that has a problem with saying no to people, please, please contact me. I have a system, a program, a tool that can help you. Now, occasionally, you will find that people who can't say no, they're able to accomplish work and do an excellent level. The problem, though, is that rarely will they be able to maintain that momentum. And what will happen is they'll end up burning themselves out, you know, because that's how you hear people say, well, if you want something done, give it to the person who's very busy. All right, and I know that sounds good in the workplace, and it sounds cute, and it sounds smart, but it's not wise. Again, they may be good at doing something, but will they be able to keep it up? You have to be very careful, managers, pastors, leaders. You have to be careful of burning out the persons who can't say no. And again, there's many reasons why that could happen. Now, several things that you can do as the boss that can also be helpful. You can make various suggestions to that person. You can suggest to take some of the work off of them. You can also, you know, point out some obvious points to them, show them how, you know, they need to filter their work assignments, pass them on to some other team members, get help, you know, try your best to reassure them that things will be okay, keep that trust going so that you can talk to them openly and honestly, and follow up with them to make sure that, again, you know, follow up with them for a while afterwards to make sure that they're not, again, piling too much onto their plate because of this problem. Can't say no. And again, there are exercises we can do. There are team building exercises and personal development exercises that we could do. We could work with them and show them how it looks and what it's doing to them and how it's actually slowing down their overall productivity. And then what they're trying to achieve may not get achieved at all. Okay, so that takes care of the person that can't say no. We've already dealt with the steamroller and the sniper. And so we just have three left to talk about in difficult people. Now, the next difficult person that you have to deal with at work is the person, again, well, one of my favorite difficult people. I think I've been just about every difficult person on this list here at some point in my life. You know, that's like some people have been most things, and, you know, most everybody has been, you know, many things, and then almost every single body has been something that they didn't appreciate being or they weren't proud of. So how do you deal with that person who knows it all? I know everybody wants the answer to this, right? I should make y'all wait to the end of the show for this one. Everybody wants to know. You know, the know-it-all, especially for some people that, like me. You want to know this because it might just be you. And I've walked in these shoes, no doubt. And it's a hard shoe to walk in, believe it or not. It's hard to know everything, you know. Your head has to be like the size of a 52-inch screen television in order to know it all. And boy, that could get very heavy, right? Just think about it. These little bitty tiny necks we have and a big old giant head. Imagine trying to balance that. It would be difficult, right? So again, all of these, the steamroller, the sniper, the person that can't say no, and now the know-it-all, all of these are people who basically are out of balance with their lives. And we have a wonderful coaching program that we can have them work through. As a matter of fact, I want you to stay tuned. We're going to talk about a place where you can come and get some real help with these. And if you are a supervisor or a manager, please send your staff member to our seminar. Now, dealing with the know-it-all, well, there are some things you need to know about them. Typically, these are people who have been around a long time. And guess what? They do know a lot. You know, it's that person that's been on the job 20 years, 25 years, or they've been doing something 30 years, 40 years. So they do know a lot. So make sure that if you're going to deal with them, you know your stuff. Because if you don't, they will typically point it out very quickly. They love to recognize it. Now, you need to recognize and respect it, but show them that maybe their ideas aren't the right answer or the right way, okay? So you got to point that out to them, because otherwise they may not get it, okay? So how dealing with the know-it-all is what you're going to do with that person is that you're going to show them maybe that, okay, you know a lot, but maybe your answer isn't the right answer. And if it is the right answer, it doesn't fit right in this situation, or it doesn't fit right now. You know, typically the know-it-alls, they are a bit of a bully as well, okay? That's a form of bullying, the know-it-all. They have their ideas, and they just won't let it go. You know, you can try saying things like, oh, that's a really good point. But you have your thought on this, okay? So you have to, because we talk about that even in class. You know, the bully wants to get their opinion out there. Well, you're not the only one who knows how to do this or knows about this. And so we learn to say, oh, I see your point. You know, I tell all my students that, especially when you're in a group setting and people are trying to, everyone has their opinion, and you have that person who wants to be the one right way. Well, you don't have the one. No one has the one right answer. So what if this happens? Basically, you need to show them again, show them some alternatives. Will they ever admit that they're wrong? Typically not. It would be like trying to catch a greased pig, you know. Can you imagine trying to catch a greased pig? It probably just won't happen. But if you find yourself dealing with a know-it-all in a meeting, ignore the temptation to make them look bad. Do not alienate them. Throw an idea out there and let it sit for a minute. Sometimes they may actually come around to it, but quite often they will want to spin it so that it seems that it was their idea. And you know what? That's okay sometimes. Occasionally selling an idea someone else wants to take credit for once in a while is okay. Your job is done, and the elimination of conflict will be better in the long run. You know, that's what it's all about. Let's eliminate the conflict. You see, in the workplace, we want to be able to operate with win-win situations, smooth transitions. Decrease the conflict. Increase the compliance of everyone getting along with each other, working together so that we can be more productive. That's the key. More productivity, greater productivity. You know, Jesus said, greater work will you do. How can we do greater work if we don't work together? How can we work together effectively if we cannot resolve our conflicts effectively? You see, this is very, very, very important to be able to work together, right? Okay, so we have two left to go, and before we do that, we are going to take a commercial break. So stay tuned and listen to this commercial, and we'll be right back. Don't go away.
Do you like to shop? Well, come out on Friday, November 25th from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. for the Vendor Expo. You will get an opportunity to purchase right from local vendors in your area. Get those special items for that special someone or for your family members for this holiday season. This Vendors Expo is the first of its kind here in Newark, New Jersey. The event is hosted by Sister to Sister and Sisters in the Spirit. For more information, contact Angela Vett at 973-573-2494 or Lil Lisa at 908-432-1853. If you are a vendor, you still may have an opportunity to reserve your table. Vendor tables are only $50, and they are going fast. So make that call, 973-573-2494 or 908-432-1853. Remember, get your shot.
Okay, and we're back. Thank you for staying tuned. Now, you just learned about the Vendor Expo that's coming up, so please get yourself ready. Now, the next difficult person that we want to talk about is the complainer. The complainer. You know, for the complainer, everything in life is just one big complaint to them. These people typically come in one or two delicious flavors for the first type. They usually really, they don't care about solutions, okay? They just want to complain. They just want someone to listen to them. So be very careful with this person. Don't try to offer a solution because they really don't want it. They just like complaining. And they will come in the office in the morning, and they will talk until you finally chase them out. Now, here's what you can do. You can listen for a while and then move them to a problem-solving alliance. Acknowledge their feelings. Deal with their emotions if necessary. But try to push them toward finding a problem-solving solution. You know, you could say something like, okay, I hear your dilemma. Let's see if we can solve it. Now, the secret is when you move into the problem solving, they will typically leave very quickly. They will typically leave out very quickly. They really don't want to solve anything. They just want to complain. And that's the first flavor. It's the first type. The second type of complainer, this is the person, they're a little bit different than the first type. Remember, the first type, they don't really want a solution. The second type, these are the folks who complain because they are paralyzed, and they really don't know what to do. Now, when you move to a problem solving, you will really, really help them. One thing to be careful of, though, don't facilitate their dependence on you. Otherwise, they will come back again and again and again, oftentimes for the very same issue or problem. As the saying goes, you can feed someone or you can teach them to fish for themselves. It's up to you. If you fail to do that, it is now you who has an additional problem. And that is called the problem of time management. When you allow people to same old problem, same old issue, and you've already helped them out with a solution two or three or four or 100 times, now it's a time management issue. They're taking up your valuable time with a problem that they neither want to solve nor do they see the solution once you've given it to them over and over and over again. If you've never met people like this, just keep living. Now, when you're working with people who, that second type especially, and even the first type, remember the first type of complainer, they don't really want a solution at all. The other type, well, it appears that they do want a solution. However, if they're coming back to you for the same old problem, they really don't want a solution. Now they just really want to be in your space, taking up your time. So you have to be careful. Be gentle when you're dealing with this person. By having the conversation with them, you will actually help them. And when you help them, you're actually helping yourself, because the complainer really is just taking up time and space in your life. Now, the last type of difficult person that we're going to deal with on today is the person that is what we call the staller. Dealing with the staller, you know, this is a person that they don't want to upset anyone, which really means they want to please everyone. In their mind, the way to accomplish this is to never make a decision. They don't want to upset anyone, so they figure, I'll just stall. I won't make any decision whatsoever. I won't go to the left, to the right. I won't say up or down. We call that person a staller. And if this person is on your team in the workplace, or you have to manage this person, or you have to work alongside of this person on any team, again, in the church, in the community, in college, wherever they are, you want to be able to handle this person the right way. So the person who is a staller, they don't want to take a stand. Instead, they take the attitude that if they just leave the issue alone, it'll go away. Yes, quite often it does go away, but only because someone else will have done the work. And now they're mad too. Okay, so, you know, stallers will stall and not get it done, and then sometimes be upset if someone else does it. I tell people that all the time as a coach. We don't want to stall your life. Some people, their lives are a big stall. They won't make a decision on going back to college. They won't make a decision on writing that book or finishing that book. Many people have started writing books, but we don't always finish them. It could be because of one of these reasons. It could be because we couldn't say no. Maybe we're complaining that we don't have enough time. It could be many, 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 many reasons why. But the staller won't make a decision, and you need to. Many people are stalling on starting that business, growing that business. People are stalling on taking a class, getting their certificate, getting certified in this or that. So what do we do to help the staller? How do we help them? Well, one way of helping them is to begin to discuss the benefits of deciding. Start talking to them about the benefits of making a decision. Remember, with people, first and foremost, we want to build a relationship with people. Why? Because when we build a relationship with people, people will do what? That's right, they will trust you. And once people trust you, now we can have those difficult conversations with them. But I've tried it the other way. It just doesn't work. You can't just, you know, barge in on people's lives and begin to tell them what's wrong, where the problems are. But once you build a relationship with them, the same way Jesus does with us, he builds a relationship with us. That's why he says, come into my presence, seek my face, study my word. Now that he builds a relationship with you, now we begin to talk to him, and he talks to us, and he shows us things, and he tells us things. He's gentle, though. He's gentle with us. And that's how we have to be with others. build that relationship, now we can begin to discuss the benefits of deciding. Now we can talk about all of the good that comes when we get off the fence and make a decision, and how we can actually work to accomplish some things. How people are more happy and morale will go up. Projects will be able to move forward, and they will continue to do well in their jobs or whatever their project they're working on. Another thing that you can do is discuss a few options with them. Basically, you can use the old salesman trick, okay? Instead of saying, "Would you like to buy the vacuum cleaner today?" you say, "Which of the vacuum cleaners will you be buying today, the red one or the blue one?" So what you're doing is you're narrowing down their options and focusing them to make a decision. Because if you say to them, "Will you buy it?" you see, now you're forcing them to say yes or no. But if you say, "Oh, which one will you buy, the red or the blue?" now it's easy for them because they can just go, "Well, I really like blue, so I'll take the blue one," right? So it's a big help. And these are going to help you in your workplace. If you are a manager, you need to know how, if you are a manager, you need this information. If you are a manager of any kind, you need this information. If you are a team leader of any kind, if you are a supervisor, if you are the chairperson within your ministry, within your church, if you have a ministry, or if you're leading a ministry, wherever you're dealing with people, hear me good, whenever you're dealing with people, there's always an opportunity to have a difficult person. You might have the steamroller, that's like the bully. You might have the sniper, that's like the person who is always kind of saying something difficult, or they're challenging you sort of under their breath or from way in the back of the room like they used to do in the classroom. And then you have the persons that can't say no. They take on too many projects till they eventually collapse. Or you have the person that can't say no, they didn't collapse, but they couldn't get anything done because they're not able to spread themselves, but so thin. And then there's the complainer, the person that's always complaining. And then there's the know-it-all that knows everything. And then there's the staller. So those are the six types of difficult people that we have dealt with on the show yesterday and part two today. We've talked about why people, you know, can end up in this difficult, how people end up becoming difficult. Okay, some people, that's all they know. Some people, that's how they deal with things. That's their defense or their offense. But you, as a manager, as a leader, as a team person, you need to know how to deal with this. We have programs to coach you, to help you deal with them. You don't have to deal with it alone. If they are a staff member of yours, you can refer them to one of our coaching sessions. We do live sessions. We do live seminars. We will come and do a seminar in your facility. We will come. We'll make it fun. We'll make it interactive. It won't be boring. They won't be sitting there yawning. We'll make it interactive for them. And you can get it for a very, very low fee, a lot less than what you would pay for. You know, sometimes some companies, they order products that they utilize for their employees. But here's the thing. What was the outcome? You may purchase audio tapes or DVDs that you let your staff members look at. But what's the return on investment? Maybe you paid, you know, a couple $1,000s for a set of a license to some type of team building or conflict resolution scenario for your employees, but what is the outcome? Did productivity increase? Did the problem or the issue decrease? If not, then was it a great return on your investment? Whereas right now I'm offering you, I'm letting you know that we have interactive workplace training and solutions to, number one, yes, your employee will have fun. That's first and foremost. They're going to enjoy. Believe me, you, they will absolutely love it. Number two, they will have real-life tools that they can take back, that they will be taught how to utilize those tools. So please get in touch with us if you would like. Now, we're going to take another break, another small commercial break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about the passive-aggressive workplace. You have people in your career and you need to, in your life, in your career, in the workplace, these passive-aggressive people. How in the world do you deal with them? So stay tuned. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Does your life need a makeover? Well, don't miss the very first makeover party happening Tuesday, November the 15th at the Marriott Courtyard located on Route 1 and 9 South in Newark, New Jersey. That's 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. The admission is absolutely free. Talk about party. Come on, ladies. I know you like to party. I know you like to have fun. Well, how about this? You can have fun while getting your personal development style on all at the same time. So don't forget to come out on Tuesday, November the 15th, 7 p.m., to the Marriott Courtyard on Route 1 and 9 South. The Marriott Courtyard is the official sponsor for this event. So please come out. We will be there. We will show you how to make your life over at the first life makeover party. Your host, Coach Lalisa, will be there. Come out and network with other powerful and dynamic women who are truly, truly on the move. There will be refreshments. You will have lots of fun. And if you bring a friend with you, there will be a special gift waiting just for you. So come out November the 15th, that's Tuesday, at 7 p.m. at the Marriott Courtyard, located in Newark, New Jersey, on Route 1 and 9 South. For more information, log on to www.lalisajwilliams.com or call area code 908-432-1853. We'll see you at the Life Makeover Party.
Okay, okay, okay. We're back. Thank you for staying tuned. And we have to share these wonderful commercials with you. And again, if you would like to have your project, your event aired or advertised right here on the Coach Lalisa Show, please contact us. There are spaces available for you. Now, dealing with this passive-aggressive, what are we talking about here? Well, you may not even be aware of it, but your job, your career may be at risk due to a passive-aggressive workplace. So what do we mean by that? Well, according to research, there is research that was described in a book entitled How Bad Apples Spoil the Barrel. The worst team member's performance is the best predictor of how any team performs. You know, they talk about the weak link in the chain. It says you're as strong as your weakest link. See, it doesn't matter how great the best member of a team performs or how efficient the leader of a group is. Teams perform at or near, check this out, teams perform at or near the level of their weakest member. It goes back to that saying, the weakest link. Remember that TV show they even created? It's so powerful, they created a very popular TV show called You Are the Weakest Link. And the woman would always get rid of the weakest link because there is some truth. Research shows that you will perform not to the highest member of the team, the greatest performer, but to the weakest person. And so you always try to strengthen that weak link. It says, if the full group engagement or team cooperation is expected, if that's what you expect, then the person with more difficulty cooperating with others is going to slow your group performance down. Teams overwhelmingly perform as their members behave. And that just makes good sense. You know, remember the song years ago, one bad apple does spoil the whole bunch. Well, they used to say, one bad apple won't destroy the whole bunch, but and we know it can. So passive aggressive coworkers are the most frustrating and obnoxious people in any workplace. And again, you come to our life makeover party, we're going to talk about a system to help you. If you're that person, we're going to help you. If you work with these people, we want to help you. This worst case of passive-aggressive behavior involves a destructive attitude such as negativity, sullenness, resentment, procrastination, forgetting to do something, chronic lateness, and intentional inefficiency. These are the worst cases of the passive aggressor person. They act as though, you know, they're so innocent, very, you know, very passive, but at the same time, they're destroying your team. When it involves things like promising to do tasks that others rely on, when they purposely forget to get them done, and then there's some lame excuse as why it didn't get done. They later portray the behavior as non-intentional. You know, this is really destructive to the team and to the manager, and it can sap the manager of time and energy and effort to have to try to deal with this person. And ultimately, a lot of money is lost in that organization. There are some cases where the passive-aggressive person actually does the work, but it's late and it's probably not done properly. Now, it's bad for the whole team, okay? So if the team you are leading or are part of is not succeeding, your own career is at risk. You know that as a leader. The person over you is looking at you, not necessarily the individual team leaders. And a passive-aggressive behavior can, and it does, often destroy teams, and it poisons the entire workplace. In an optimal situation organization, you find efficient, high-performing teams. Great team performance depends on what? A few things, right? Well, first it has to be trust. We have to trust each other. We need to be able to cooperate with each other. We have to communicate with each other. And everyone has to have high levels of personal responsibility. I feel responsible for doing this task, or I feel responsible for getting this task completed. Now, this is a big, big, big problem in the workplace today. And it says that in the workplace today, it's very difficult to nurture high-performing people. Why? Because the unemployment is so high, and you know, the workforce is very stagnant. You don't see a lot of movement right now because nobody wants to quit their job. Nobody wants to move because they're afraid because the economy is so bad. They don't want to be insecure. And so they stay in positions where they're really not suited for. And therefore, this passive-aggressive behavior is more prevalent when you're stagnated. Because you feel that you can't move. You know, sometimes when you feel that, now for myself, being, you know, being in the field of training, looking at these things from a different viewpoint, I'm able to see it. So I found myself in a place where I was becoming that kind of person. So I had to move myself out of the scenario. You know, that's one of the reasons that I try to encourage people, get all the training, all the education that you can get it, so that you, if you find yourself in a situation where you are not performing at your highest level, you need to move yourself out of that situation and get into an environment where you want to be. So like now, I'm in an environment where I'm training, I'm motivating, I'm leading people to change your lives. That's my optimal environment. That's the optimal environment for Lalisa. But for someone else, your optimal environment might be at a desk mulling over numbers. That might be your optimal environment. But if your supervisor or your manager was to ask you to do a presentation, it may not go over so well. So you got to put yourself in optimal environments, learn how to say no, don't complain, you know, don't take on too much, don't be a know-it-all. We have a lot of things to remember, right? Don't be a know-it-all, don't be a steamroller, don't be a complainer, don't be a staller, don't be passive-aggressive. Put ourselves in environments where we can perform at our optimal levels, so that the most energy, the most effectiveness, the more productivity, the more productive you are at work, the more money your department can make, the more money you make and or save, you're going to get noticed by the head of the finance committee. And the head of the finance committee, which is in close interaction with the CEO, the chief executive officer of the company, you'll get noticed as a leader. When your department is more efficient, your department will be more efficient as you're more productive, and your department will be more productive as you work with your team members. Okay? And it's the same thing at church. You're on the various committees at church, whether it be the marriage ministry, the youth ministry, the choir, the usher board, whatever ministry you're in, the pastor parish relations or whatever your church calls it. Every church calls it something different. You might be the head of an association. Maybe you're part of the National Association of Women Executives, or you're part of some fraternity, Omega Psi Phi, or these different things are. Or sororities, what have you. It doesn't matter. Whatever you are, you could be in the student government at school, a part of the student association or what have you. It doesn't matter what group it is, and even the family. If you're in a job, your department, if your people can work together and you can manage those personalities, then you can be more productive. As you're more productive, you can be more efficient. As you're more efficient and productive, you are either saving the company money or you are bringing in more profits. When you do either one, either bring in more profits or save the company money, the finance department is always the first department to know. The CEO won't know outside of the finance department, typically, not always, but typically. It's the chief financial officer reports to the chief executive officer on finances. And so when they see that you're either efficient and or productive and you're either saving the company money or you're bringing in more money, because both do the same. If you're bringing in more money, okay, but if you're also saving the company money, the profit margin is still going up because you're not being wasteful. Now, that person is going to get noticed within the organization. Simple as that. Some people think they're going to get noticed because they, you know, what they wear and things of that nature. Well, sure, it will get you noticed to a large degree, but it's not a notice thing that we care about. Companies care about greater profits and greater efficiency. That's how you get noticed. That's how your name will get to the chief, and you know possibly get a promotion or a raise. But don't expect to get a raise or a promotion when their productivity is down and efficiency is down. And so, you know, well, what do they have to give you a raise with? If the productivity is down, they don't have any extra money, and asking for extra money doesn't make sense. So it just goes to say that you should try to work with your individuals on the team, be more productive, more efficient, more effective, deal with the various difficult type of personalities, whether it be the staller, whether it be the complainer, the know-it-all, the person that can't say no, the steamroller, you know, be able to deal with all those different personalities on the job, in the church, okay? Now, there's another type of passive-aggressive person. That was just the one type. We dealt with how many different types? Well, we dealt with the type of people on the workplace that they're unsuccessful on the team. Why? Because, well, they are the type of people that come to work late. They don't get their work done. They make a lot of excuses. Okay? Now, another type of person in the workplace that's also passive-aggressive are people who have a lot of anger problems. Okay? And they have a very difficult time managing their anger and their negative emotions. They're very negative. They're very imbalanced. They sabotage, you know, other team members. When resources are scarce, you know, all competitive behaviors play harder. And non-productive reactions also develop to frustrate the highly effective and value workers. A lot of times, the low performer people will cause the high performing people to leave the company. And I've seen this happen, and it's very horrible. It's very horrible. So you have to watch out for what the passive aggressive people. These are the people who are, you know, the chronic lateness. They don't get projects done on time. They always have an excuse. And then you have the people that are very passive aggressive with their anger, and they're very negative emotions, okay? And sometimes you have people who work in the company and they've been there 10, 5, 10, 15, 20 years. It's very horrible to see, but as a trainer, I saw almost every kind of passive-aggressive person, and they're still angry about things that happened 15 years ago. You're like, oh, my goodness, you know, get over it already. Passive-aggressive behavior must end. Okay, but what is it going to take to end that kind of behavior in the workplace? And we want to give you some solutions for that as well and talk about what a good leader does. What does a good leader do when you have these kind of people in the workplace? So, well, you know what that means. It looks like we're going to have to go to a part three. Running out of time. We're out of time. Not running out. We're out of time. So come back tomorrow. We're going to do part three of how to deal with the passive-aggressive person in the workplace. Go tell your coworkers to tune in. Let them know. Send them a copy of this. Tell them they need to find out, as a leader, how to deal with this. All right, then. That's all we have time. Have a great, powerful day. Wake up, wake up, be motivated, be empowered. Get it done, and get it done now.
Thank you for tuning in to another segment of the Coach LaLisa Show. Well, we hope you learned something. Now your challenge is to go and apply the tips, tools, or strategies that you have learned here today. And don't forget to invite a friend. Share the knowledge, share the love, share the wealth with everyone. Well, we are honored that you were here with us today for this 30-minute segment. The Coastal Lisa Show can be heard right here on Blog Talk Radio every morning, Monday through Friday, at 7:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's been great. It's been real. It's been awesome. And you got to keep moving on up, because in reality, there ain't nothing stopping you now. You are on the move. And this has been Coach Lil Lisa J. Williams.